Hi, and welcome to Journeyers Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Clark, and I'll bring you guests who have stories and tools to share with you discussing resilience, authenticity, and the freedom that those things brought them. Let's get started. Hi, guys. I'm here today with Lori. We're at the Sparrows, which, if you are not in Grand Rapids when you're here, you have to check it out. And if you are in Grand Rapids and you haven't been here, do your life differently and get your little booty over here. So, awesome space and super community oriented. So, the first time that I came in here, I was just like, oh my gosh, amazing space. And then some point long after that, I got to meet Lori. And I was like, oh, it's her amazing space. So, but in addition to running this awesome, amazing space and doing the cool things you do here, Lori co-founded Mom Brain GR. Mm-hmm. And does all the things. Like all of the things.
I do too many things.
Maybe.
Sometimes.
With that introduction, I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Okay. I'm Lori. I spend a lot of time working on the Sparrows Coffee Shop and making it a cozy, inviting space and making sure we have good products. And then I also spend a lot of time working for the wholesale coffee end of things, which actually I sold our wholesale business to Shule Coffee, and technically I work for them making Sparrows coffee. It's very confusing, but it works. And then I've got three little girls that are 3, 4, and 5, and I also have a wonderful husband who has brain cancer. And that's pretty much everything. And then I do Mom Brain, and I'm writing a book. Just a few things.
It's everything. So, three girls.
Yes.
3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
So that's a whole.
Yeah, they have a lot of emotions. We call them big feelings.
Yes, we have big feelings.
We're coming out of the hardest phase, honestly. It's getting easier every day because I love infants and I love toddlers, but my 4 and 5-year-old are super fun at this point. So I'm kind of excited for my 3-year-old to get there and then it'll all be fun. She still kind of throws tantrums and freaks out, but
yeah.
But yeah, it's it's nonstop. Every mom knows it's a lot of work, but I love it. They're fun.
So how do you balance that? Or
I don't.
And juggle that.
Yeah, it is a juggle. I definitely don't balance, but I do my best to wake up like an hour or two before they wake up, so I at least have a little bit of time to myself. Occasionally my husband will wake up when I wake up, and that just irritates me because he takes it away. He wants to talk and he takes it away from me. But, I mean, I like him. All right, so it's fine. But, that's how I try to, I guess, maintain my own identity and stay calm, because otherwise I find myself getting frantic throughout the day with the commitments that I've made, things that I have to do for the kids. It's just, it ends up feeling like too much if I don't have a little bit of time where I can just do nothing or do something that, doesn't have an end goal or, I'm writing a book, but I don't know if it's going to get published. It's mostly just so I have a thing that's mine.
Yeah.
You know?
It's cool.
Yeah.
And I think some of the most beautiful things come from that, right?
Yeah.
When it's about you, it's not about
right
whatever it is for everybody else.
Right. And I didn't want to lose myself in motherhood or lose myself in the Sparrows,
Yeah.
I wanted to still have my own creative self that I remember having when I didn't have all these life commitments, Remember in college when you spend a day making a painting because you could. Right.
Was that to be done?
Right. So I can close my eyes and bring myself back to that point where I can just have all those creative thoughts and let that run with it. But I can't do it now because I'll be like, oh, I should be doing this, 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 and this instead. So if I dedicate that hour, hour and a half to just, like, doing whatever, then I don't feel guilty about using it for that.
Yes. So there it is.
It's the guilt.
Guilt. Yes, the guilt. Oh, that'll pop up no matter what you're doing.
Yes.
See, I should be doing something else, and I feel bad about what I'm doing instead.
Right, right. I found that if I do those things, though, if I do that time for myself where, you know, I can write or often I'll, you know, go for a run or, you know, if I have enough time, I'll do yoga or something. But if I do those things, then everything else goes smoother and it's better. So it seems counterintuitive. Like when I have too many commitments, I actually do more of the things that don't seem to immediately have a result, you know, because it builds up over time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned your husband. That, can you tell us about that piece of all of this? Like,
yeah,
you met him.
I met him in 2012. He was diagnosed with brain cancer in 2009. And he was married to someone else then who divorced him. I mean, he has a story, but I've only heard his side, so I don't feel like I can speak to it.
That's fair.
So when I met him, he had been divorced for a little over a year. And he had given up on doing any treatments because he was a very anti-conventional treatment from the get-go and was doing all these alternative treatments, but it requires a lot of self-motivation to do those because you don't have necessarily a doctor telling you what you need to do. You just have to, like, research it, go to a naturopath, and, like, find out what to do and do it yourself. And when he was depressed after getting divorced, he kind of stopped doing everything. And he was just, you know, living life like he didn't have a brain tumor. And I found him irresistible, and we were just friends, actually, and we drank a lot of whiskey, got pregnant, and then decided to date.
All right.
Then, which was very unexpected, because I had dealt with infertility in my previous marriage. So, really, no one expected
it. Yeah, right.
And
expect it across the board.
Oh, yes. My family was like, yay, wait. Dad?
I was
like, oh.
You would
ask
that.
That 34-year-old that just got knocked up by someone no one knows.
Right.
I mean, I knew him. We'd been hanging out for a long time, but no one knew that it was a thing. So, anyway, we ended up getting married when our daughter was 6 months old, and I was pregnant again with our second daughter, they're born on the same day, a year apart. And then our third daughter came 15 months after her. But through that time, when I was pregnant, just before we got married, he was hospitalized for 2 weeks and told that he wouldn't meet our daughter, our second daughter. And so he did some radiation, which was against everything he had stood for. He went and got radiation in Philly for 6 weeks. And then he was good for like 2.5 years. His tumor didn't grow at all. He was always having... Before all that happened, he was having, like, seizures all the time, too. So that was, like, really problematic when he'd be, like, holding our daughter.
Right, yeah. You know? Right. I can see where that
right.
Problematic, yeah.
So then after that, where was I with radiation? Okay. So it ended up started growing again after about 2.5 years. And then he did chemo for a year, which seemed to be effective until he stopped. And then it immediately, like... tripled in size over the course of like 2 months. So it was angry. And that was just this past summer. So he is currently, well, he had brain surgery a month and a half ago, but no, about a month ago. And then, and they were able to remove 95% of it, which, you know, 10 years ago, he was told by the head surgeon at Mayo that it was inoperable. And they discouraged him getting any surgery because it was going right through his like communication and movement centers of his brain.
Right.
But this is my theory. No doctor has told me that this is true. I think that because his surgeon now did say that the brain will move the different functions to different areas. So I think because it was 10 years, it kind of moved it out of that space. So
gotcha.
Different parts of his brain kind of made up for it and
yeah.
Made it so that he could have surgery and have 95% of it removed. So now he's recovering from that. He's got, like, some speech issues with mostly he can't find the right word. Or when he texts me, he'll text me something that just is, like, makes no sense. but it's improving every day. And now he's about to start radiation again, and then he's going to do chemo again after that. They said that he could go, like, 8 to 12 years of not having a recurrence then after that.
Wow.
So ideally, that's what will happen.
And he's already 10 years from the first time he has diagnosed.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. He had his 10-year cancerversary in June. So yeah, we're hoping that this will work. It's taken a lot for him to agree to actually even do this treatment.
Yeah.
Basically, it took three daughters and me, I think, to convince him it was worth it. But
yeah.
How
is that on your end?
On my end, it's I'm just glad he's doing it because he didn't want to, and for so long he said no, and he was like ready to just, you know, we were grappling with like, do I just let him die his way, you know, because it's his life.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't want to do these treatments because he thinks that they're going to make his life worse,
yeah,
then I just have to be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you have three little girls looking at you, then you're like, I think even he was like, I can't just do that, you know.
Yeah.
He said that he didn't want to be in his deathbed and have someone be like, well, did you try chemo? And have to be like, no.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So he said he decided he was just going to try everything and see if there was a way that he could get past it. And this sounds really promising, but like chemo sounded really promising. And then once he stopped taking it, it like didn't work, you know?
Yeah.
So we're just hoping that it will do what they say I think it will do. The type of tumor it is a oligodendroglioma, and it is sort of aggressive. It's a grade 3. It's not going to grow back immediately like a glioblastoma. Actually, today he's getting his first MRI since the surgery, so I'll find out if it's grown in this time frame. We don't know. It's strange. Tumors work. Like, part of it will be a grade 3, part of it will be a grade 2, but they always go by whatever the higher grade is, and then they just diagnose it as that. So I'm hoping that the part that's left, the little 5% part that's left, is not a grade 3.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll find out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm focusing mostly on just, like, keeping our house running, keeping my work running. Luckily, I have his family to handle a lot of the planning for his treatments and stuff.
Okay.
So I started it, which I kind of feel bad about because I was like, we're taking him to MD Anderson. So I started the whole process, but then I was like, and you guys take over. I'll see you later. I've got work to do. But yeah, it was definitely stressful. Here's a weird thing. I get stress marks on my fingernails.
Oh, yeah.
So this is when the surgery happened.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. I get like a line whenever I have a very stressful life event on my fingernails.
Like a tree.
It is like a tree. I'm waiting for it to grow out. It's like a main way I know that I was very stressed because I'm really good at working through it.
Yeah.
And like acting like it's fine.
This
like
is
I
a
fool
really
myself.
Good
yeah. I fool myself even where I'm like, actually, I'm good. But then, you know, my body tells me I'm not.
Right. Yeah. And bodies are really good at that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Something isn't right here.
Right.
Okay, so parenting is hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can
it
all
is.
Agree on that.
Yes.
Even in, like, ideal, I don't know what ideal is, but ideal
right.
circumstances. I think it's safe to say, for various reasons, that neither of us are in ideal
right.
circumstances.
Yes.
So, how is that? Like, how do you, I don't know, how is your parenting different, maybe, than you think it would be if things were not what they are? Which I know is kind of a tricky question.
I think right now I'm really, try to err on the side of love with them, like, and snuggles and all things that someone who's going through something needs, you know? So I know that I could be strict with them. I could be trying to raise them a certain way, but at this point, even though I, like I just said, like, I don't know that I'm struggling, because I can't, I fool myself even, I feel like they're definitely going through it too.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I'm just like trying to go easy on them with everything, which maybe will come back to bite me later, but I just want to like make sure they know that they're loved and that, you know, we're going to work through this together. And as often as I can, I get them to like with David gone, we FaceTime every day. You know, I want them to see him and see that he's okay, because they'll hear from their friends whose parents bring us meals. Oh, your daddy is sick. Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, he's not sick. He just has surgery.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, maybe we should discuss this. But today, like today, for example, we're going to Gilda's Club.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm assuming they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I probably should talk to a professional about how this should be done. So, yeah, I'm going to bring them there, and they have a whole kids program. So see if there's anything that I'm missing there. But I have a really good family that is supportive. My brother and his girlfriend are in town. They help with everything. They make sure that they're like another person there for, like, my daughter had a reading celebration at school yesterday at 9 a.m. and my brother and his girlfriend came, and it literally, all it was my daughter reading a book to us.
Yeah.
But I was like, I feel bad, it's just me.
Yeah.
You know? So they were like, oh, we can come, whatever, we're that's available awesome. At that time.
Like, so showing up for you.
Yeah, and asking for help, that's the biggest thing. Is like, I used to be like, literally a year ago, I was, I can do everything on my own, I don't need help. And now, I had something where, like, somebody was saying, like, it blesses the other person to help you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so it helps you both.
Yeah.
And then from being a person that wanted to help someone, I remember being like, all I want to do is, like,
help,
like, help you feel better.
Yeah.
So now I'm, like, saying yes to everyone helping.
Nice. Nice.
Is great. I feel a little bad because it's like the third or fourth time since I've known David that we've gotten meals delivered to us.
No.
But it's fine. It's great. I get to like see everybody and get to know them better, and I've met his coworkers a lot through this whole process. It's just been good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good community.
It is. It is.
So I guess I'm outsourcing the parenting.
Yes. No, outsourcing.
They've
possible.
Got great teachers. They're in, my youngest is in daycare, and that the teachers there have been just amazing at giving extra snuggles. Like, the kindergarten teacher for my oldest will be like, I'll make sure to give Marion some extra snuggles today because her dad was having surgery that day or something.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's been the biggest help, is having fantastic teachers who actually love my kids.
Yeah, no, you know? That's huge. Yeah. That's really, really important.
We need to pay them better.
Yes, we do. We do. That, that is so true. I was just talking to a friend of mine recently. I say recently, it was probably like a month ago. I should really talk to her more often.
Yes.
but she had just moved from Oklahoma to Florida. And one of the things she talked about in that move is her son having to go to a new school. And she's like, but we loved his old school and his teachers were so great.
Yeah.
And then one of the teachers was vacationing
in
Florida and went out to dinner with them. You know what I mean? And I was just like, oh,
stuff like that.
I'm so
fuzzy. I know. It's the best. Teachers just, like, they're in that because it's their passion, you know?
Yeah.
So they're like, at least the teachers I've worked with just go above and beyond and just love my kids. So, and we're a special case. Like, they know that we're going through a hard time right now. So they definitely go out of their way to, like, help in any way they can. So it's been good. I've been pleasantly surprised.
Good. And your kiddos are in the same school.
My two older ones are kindergarten and preschool at the Child Discovery Center. And then my youngest is at the Early Child Discovery Center, which is like a block away.
Nice.
And that's the daycare. And actually, the preschool went and visited the daycare, so they got to play together.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's like all kind of interconnected, and it's an amazing school. Yeah. But my daughter is 5 and is reading at like a second grade level right now.
That's awesome.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Well, and when they start reading, it opens up like worlds to them.
I know. Yep. She's been reading comic book sort of style thing. Dog Man.
Oh,
she's really
yes.
into.
Yes.
And then today when I dropped her off, she picked up a Dr. Seuss book and was reading it out loud and, like, cracking up. And, yeah, she's very proud at her reading abilities because now she sees that other kids aren't there yet.
Yeah.
So she's
this is something
I'm good at.
Right. Well, catch on to things.
And I was like, oh, yeah, you can be really good at things.
Right.
There you go.
Just one.
You should run with that. Anyway, yeah, so we've been encouraging her, but I take her to the library usually at least once a week if I can. So.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just, kiddos and I, just in the last couple of weeks, we've always been going to the library fairly regularly, but they each got their own car the last time.
Oh, I haven't done that yet.
This is a very big deal.
How old do you have to be?
No.
Yeah.
Well, we're at a KDL branch, not a JR Pub. So I don't know if their rules are different, but for mine, even my youngest, who's 6, was able to get one, but then, like, I'm co-signing on their
I figured it would be like that. I just didn't know how old they had to be. I'll ask next time.
Yeah.
Love that.
Oh, yeah. They just think it's great, mm-hmm. And I'm sure anybody, you know, tracking their list of books is probably very confused because they insist on checking out my books for me. And they're probably like,
oh, that's
why
a weird
are
book.
You reading this?
Kid to read?
Yeah.
Strange.
Interesting child.
I know. I just put my my library card on my keychain like yesterday. So I was like, I think I'm going to actually just need this handy all the time now.
Yes.
It's so convenient, so nice. And I'm obsessed with putting books on hold. So, like,
yes!
If I'm in a conversation with someone and they recommend a book, I go on my phone and put it on hold right then.
That's awesome.
So that, like, when I go with the kids, I can just swing by the whole shelf and then go to the kids section and read while they're playing.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Ooh, I like that. I might have to take that one.
Yeah. It's super convenient. And then they're, like, coloring and playing, and I can be browsing through the book I just picked up.
It's great. Yes. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
What is the one thing, you don't have to pick one, you can pick another one. We'll save one,
because
it's fun to throw a number in. What is one of the things, or more, that you would attribute your resilience to?
Interesting question. I had a very crazy childhood. So I think I had a lot of conversations with my brother, who I'm very close to. I have 6 older brothers. So the brother I'm referring to is Todd. He's the youngest of them. He's 2 years older. 2 years older than I am. And we talk about this a lot, like why we're both pretty resilient and can make it through like things that other people would struggle with a lot more. And we think it's because we spent most of our childhood in fight or flight mode, and now we're capable of like resetting, you know, or I guess course correcting a lot easier.
Gotcha.
Because we did it our whole lives. Basically, we had 6 older brothers, which is already intense.
Yeah.
But then
I mean, you could just stop there.
But then our father was very alcoholic. Very, for me, emotionally abusive. For my brother, it's more physical as well.
Okay.
And I don't really talk about it publicly much because I'm still worried he'll hear about it and he'll be like mad at me. You know, like as a 40-year-old, I'm still kind of afraid of him.
Right.
But now he's like pretty sick, so I don't think he'll be listening. Anyway.
You won't send him a link.
Yeah, no, but like he just like, you know, would come home in a rage, and so we would have to like, you know, change what our plans were, you know, for the rest of the night. And getting through that, I think, if we can get through that as kids, like we can pretty much, like, one thing my brother has told me is that, like, he plays my life coach more often than not, by the way. Is like, anyway, he says, like, what he'll do is think about what the worst possible outcome of a situation could be.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do that, you realize it's actually not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, if the worst thing were to happen, it's usually not that bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that you've lived through.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. And so that's kind of, I guess, how we've ended up approaching life. And that way, and why probably I wasn't that freaked out marrying someone with a brain tumor who had, at that point, he only had like 2 years left to live on his prognosis. So obviously he's outlived that.
Yeah, good job.
but yeah, I mean, it was for a lot of people, you know, they'd be like, "What are you doing? Like, why would you first of all, marry someone with brain cancer. Second of all, have three kids. You know? But then people also said, why are you opening a coffee shop, you know?
Yeah. Well,
I remember somebody said to me, do you know where Common Ground is?
Yeah.
At that point, there was Cobb House and Common Ground, and I think Bitter End was open, but I'm not sure.
Right.
It was. And when we said we were opening this cafe, he goes, I don't know why you'd open another cafe. Common Ground's the best coffee shop there is. And I was like, I mean, tell that to the other coffee shops that have opened since.
Right, yeah. Like, okay, here's looking at you.
Right, yeah.
Coffee shop on every corner.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, when somebody says, like, discourages me, I'm like, ooh, that means I'm going in the right direction.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's spot on.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, to that question, like, why would you? Because love is a
right.
thing.
Like, yes.
Caring about another human.
Yes.
Like,
yes, for sure. Well, David didn't want to date me. That's the whole funny part of our story, is that he was not interested. So I had to do some convincing. And then we accidentally got pregnant. I know it sounds like I did it on purpose, but I swear, I had no idea. We surprised everyone.
Yeah. Well, as someone who is divorced, I can understand reluctance to be in any sort of relationship.
Yes.
And that's without, like, a very dire prognosis in front of us, right?
Yeah. Like, that's what he had told me at the time. He said, I'm not ready for another relationship.
Yeah.
And that was fine. Like, I understood. But then he would still, like, talk to me and hang out with me every day. And I was like, all right, I guess we're still just doing this. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think he was pretty torn on the situation.
But, it sounds like it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we had religious differences, so I was, like, very outspoken atheist at the time. Not so much anymore, but at the time I was, because I was recently divorced, too, and that was what came out of my divorce, because I stopped believing in everything.
Yes.
And then he was very outspoken Christian, and so even if he did want to date me, he thought that I was going to be bad for him.
Right.
But it worked out. He was good for me, I was good for him. We were the last thing that each other expected.
Yeah. Mm. It's very
and the best thing. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's been, it's only been, actually our 5-year wedding anniversary is this December, and we've only been together for 6. So it's weird, like today a memory from 7 years ago popped up on my Facebook, and I was like, that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And my life was so different.
Right.
But it's good. I like it. And that makes me think, like, in 7 more years, how different it's going to look, you know? And I think about, actually, today, when I was writing a portion of, like, my memoir part, today I was writing about how before, or when I wanted to date David and he didn't want to date me, my therapist told me to go and try online dating, because I was like, this guy isn't interested, like, why can't I let it go? And he goes, go meet someone else. And I was like, everyone my age that's single is crazy. Like,
what?
They're divorced or broken up for a reason, you
yeah.
know, like, including
yeah.
myself.
Right.
So he was like, oh, you'll find out that you're wrong. Just try online dating. So, and it occurred to me as I was writing this today, it was 2012 and none of the apps, dating apps existed. Isn't that crazy? Like, there's like a part of our life
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
None of them existed. I did eHarmony where I had to actually log in on my computer.
Yeah. That was like a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. I think it was OkCupid, but I think that even was like a login online
yeah.
on your computer.
And I feel like eHarmony's like process is one step short of writing your dissertation.
Yes.
Like,
it was intense.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. But I did meet someone that was very kind on there, but obviously did not work out. He did not solve the problem. But yeah, and I was thinking about how much things have changed. And like, I used to be really, when I was an art teacher, I follow a lot of educators that were speakers, and Kenneth Robinson was one of them, Sir Kenneth Robinson, and he would always say, like, our kids' jobs don't exist yet, like, we don't know what they're going to be,
oh, yeah.
so we just need to teach them to be creative and intuitive and, like, you know, resilient and inventive and, like, all the things to, like, that will accommodate whatever the future holds for them, because at the time that I heard him speak, which was, like, 10 years ago, he goes... 10 years ago, the internet didn't exist, and here we are, and most of our jobs rely on it, you know?
Yeah.
And so the future is going to be so different, and it's like all my problems, I feel like there's a solution, I just got to wait for it to happen, you know?
There you go.
Yeah. So it was just fascinating to think, like, you know, when I was dating last, dating apps didn't exist. And it wasn't even that long ago. And, you know, all the things my kids are going to do, their jobs don't exist yet. I can't encourage them. I can only encourage them to follow the things that they're good at. That's the one thing I regret. Because I didn't pursue writing and, like, an English degree because my brother had it and I didn't want to just do what he did.
Ah. Yeah.
Even though that's always been the easiest thing for me. Like easy A was taking like a lit class or English class or a writing class, but I was like, I can't do just what Todd does. I have to do something else. So here I am now. I'm like, I should have just done writing from the get go. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, but now you've got all this like experience to put into that writing.
Exactly. Totally. But that's what I want to encourage my kids to do is, like, whatever, it, like, comes easiest to you, you have to acknowledge that it's not easy for everyone. Mm-hmm. And so if it's easy for you, like, get really good at it, you know?
Yeah.
And then you'll be a master in it because that's what you're meant to be doing.
Yep.
You know? Or whatever brings you the most joy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, because when you're doing something that's so integral to who you are at your core, like,
exactly,
in alignment with your authentic self,
yes,
right? Like
100%. Yeah. And like the things that you could do if you didn't fight it, but I fought it because I just didn't want to do the same thing, and I imagine like what I could have accomplished if I hadn't fought it. And maybe fighting it is part of my process.
Yeah,
just the process, you know.
There is a whole process thing sometimes, but it's a really long process.
I know, gosh. It's been like 20 years.
I like the expedited version.
I know.
Like, I'm pretty sure I clicked that box.
I should have just started it right out of the gate. I don't know what I was doing.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so that's a long story that I just told about how I got to where I am.
No, it's a great story.
I've been thinking about it a lot. Can you tell? I've been writing about it.
Yeah. Like, it's all right there.
Right in my mind right now.
Yeah. So who are three writers that kind of influenced you or that you like?
That I like the most. Influenced. I love Liz Gilbert. She's my, I think at the time she's my favorite. Like, I just, anything that she puts even on Instagram, I'm just like, I love
her. I know. I'm like,
so much. We'll be best friends.
I'll just roll quiet in the corner and you just do your thing. It'll be fine.
I know. I just like that she, like, doesn't care at all. She just does her own self, her own thing, and doesn't care about what anyone thinks of it.
Yes.
And it's exactly what we need. It's like a breath of fresh air. I highly
recommend her episodes on Rob Bell's Robcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's done a few with her. And
yeah, I think
amazing.
I heard the first one and loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, they did an event together recently.
They did, and they recorded it and really did it as two episodes for the Robcast.
Oh, awesome. I'll listen to it for sure. Okay, and
sorry.
Then who else do I love? I follow Glennon, but I can't say that I read a lot of her stuff yet. She did just release a book.
Yeah,
that looks
coming
amazing.
Out in like March.
Yeah,
I'm really excited.
That looks really good. I'm like, based on what she described it as, I was like, this is the book that I need.
Yeah, yes.
So,
I probably will
put her at the top of the list once I read that book.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, I know. Cheryl Strayed. She's like such an inspiration for me.
Yeah.
Because she's one person that was like, people say that you're not a writer if you don't write every day. And she goes, in that case, I'm not a writer. Because like, she goes, I go through like moments where months where I don't write at all. And then I'll just like write like crazy. And just hearing someone who's successfully doing it. And the fact that she was like, late on rent, like her rent check bounced, and she had a book on the New York Times bestseller in a while came out.
Just like,
it was like her, like what she needed right then and there. It was like the universe answering her request, and I was like, it can happen. Anyway, and like I was reading through her her Dear Sugar, what's that called? The book called like Million Little Things or something like that.
Yeah.
Tiny Beautiful Things, something, I can't remember. Anyway, I was reading through it, and that, just her style of writing, inspires me to write. Like, that is how, if I could write my perfect way, I want it to be written the way that she writes things.
Awesome.
Not even the prose necessarily, but like her thought process.
Right.
And then, so that was two. I gotta think of another one. I love Gabriel Garcia Marquez. We'll go into fiction.
Okay.
I love his, like fantastic sort of fiction. It's not fantasy, but he writes unrealistic things as if they are real.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there's a term for it. Yeah. I'm blanking on it. But yeah, like, 100 Years of Solitude, I've read, like, 4 times because I love that, the way that he does it. It's beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah. So there. Those three. It was harder than I expected. I used to work at Schuller's, so, like, it used to be real easy. I could listen to 10.
Yeah. Hey, guys. So we're going to have to do this in 2 parts, so make sure you catch 2. That'll be it for this one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Journeyers Podcast. To connect with me, your host, Susan Clark, check me out on Insta at HT Performance LLC, email me at susan.clark@healthtrainingperformance.com, or just check out my website, healthtrainingperformance.com. I'd love to hear from you and hear about anybody you know who has an amazing story of resilience and authenticity. Have a great day.